Okay, those of you that are watching this on the internet, good evening. And we'll continue in our study of Hebrews. And we're in Hebrews 2, 5 and following. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And we need to be in prayer for Molly, Kit's sister. We need to be in prayer for Bobby and his slow recovery. And are there any other requests that do we know of? Is he?
Phil. Tired but getting better.
Okay, very good. So we need to be in prayer for Phil and get him going back. And so let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God, how thankful we are for the book of Hebrews, which tells us so much about Jesus Christ. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes. Let us see these things, Father. We pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Before you begin, may I make a comment? The book of Hebrews. I remember, you probably don't know, but they had this other program that I was telling you about. Like, and they talked about wars, and they were talking about David, King David, and Hebrews, and everything else. And they hardly ever mentioned how David was a womanizer and everything else. Remember?
Yeah.
But they never mentioned he was in the greatest book as a believer. You know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. All right. I mean, well, not good, but they good. Okay. We're going to look at Jesus is authority over civilization, over the millennium, and over the angelic conflict. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, here are my glasses. Hebrews 2. Let's begin reading in verse 5. Hebrews 2:5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we were speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than angels. So verse 7 tells us who we're talking about in verse 2. That's one thing people don't understand. So it already tells us you have made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and have appointed him over the works of all of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. So this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. Now, what does the term the world mean to you? What does it mean when it says the world to come? What does it mean? He did not subject or put under the rule to angels the world to come. The world refers to the inhabited earth. The world or Roman Empire. Any of these are biblical definitions. The root meaning to dwell, the root meaning of the world in the Hebrew or in the Greek is to dwell and means the inhabited world. In most cases, it refers to the people who live on the earth. Therefore, it refers to civilization. Now, there are four civilizations in human history. Only four. These are not dispensations. Not talking about dispensations. So we need to define civilization for our study of our word. So point one. A civilization means a period of human history with believers only. In our study, it's referring to believers only. Now, why? Well, the way that Webster defines our word is the society, the culture, the way of life of a particular group of people. Well, that group of people are believers to us. For our study, we're going to limit this group of people who are believers in Jesus Christ. Now, who we're going to begin with the first civilization of two who were innocent, be two people who were innocent, therefore, the first civilization starts with Adam and Eve. Began the first civilization. The first civilization terminated by a disastrous judgment by God. By this judgment, the entire population of the world was destroyed, except for a few believers only. These believers began the second civilization, eight people. So there's our first one, and the beginning of our second. Now, point two, very important to us today, is that each civilization has its own climate, its own environment, characterizations within the species. That is that each civilization has different lifespans. In fact, even many animals are different in each civilization. In each civilization, while believe animals will change, each has species that remain the same. There is no transmutation. This is a man remains man, an animal remains animal. To give you an idea, in the first civilization, you had animals, the large, big animals, and then they died out. And then we go on to other civilizations. So that's what's going to be working here. That is that man remains and animals remain animals in important to our study. Angels remain angels. Elect angels remain elect angels. Fallen angels remain fallen angels. So that's our first and second civilization. Point three. A quick outline of these civilizations. Subpoint one. The first civilization began with two in creation, and Adam and Eve, to the destruction of God in the flood. Point two. The second civilization began with eight people, believers. It began with two believers, and the second civilization began with eight believers. Noah and the five and seven members of his family. It includes the age of Israel. It includes the church age, the rapture, and the tribulation, and the second advent. It begins with eight believers, ends with disastrous destruction by the baptism of fire by all unbelievers, being removed from civilization. Three, the third civilization is the millennium. That is the reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. It begins with believers only, Jews and Gentiles. This is important to God in that He teaches about it at the wheat and the tares that are removed, parable to wheat and tares, and they are parable. Excuse me. Well, just a minute. Here we are. Parable of good and bad fish, the wise and foolish virgins. All of these deal with the end of this civilization. This ends the third civilization with another great destruction. This ends with destruction of the universe. This one ends with removal of all unbelievers of the millennium who are cast into the lake of fire with the Satan and his angels. Now, subpoint four. Fourth and final civilization begins with believers only. As we have already stated, that each civilization begins with its own climate. As this climate to the third civilization was with perfect climate, same beautiful climate throughout the world, there is a millennial kingdom of animals as in the third civilization. Here the king cobra, the most poisonous and most aggressive snake in the world, well, you will be able to pet him if you desire to pet him. You can never do it. The lion and the lamb lie down together, as we all know. So these things all happened in this civilization. Now, major point four. The first civilization began before the destruction of the flood, of which it stopped by the flood. It began with Adam and Eve in innocence and concludes with the universal flood, which destroyed all population of the earth except 8 people. Point five. The second civilization is over the great flood. It begins with the 8 believers who were alive at the end of the first civilization and who began the second civilization. The second civilization began with 8 believers only and will conclude with the second advent by the removal of all unbelievers by the baptism of fire, according to Matthew 28:25, and began the third civilization or by the millennial reign of Jesus Christ himself. Now, point six. Now, the third civilization, that is the millennium, it begins with believers of the tribulation, believing Jews, and believing Gentiles. It will end by yet a third destruction of Satan himself. Seven, the fourth civilization, which is from now through all eternity, it has no end. It is by believers only, in resurrection bodies only. It begins with the new heavens and new earth and new Jerusalem. Each civilization begins with a divine blessing and terminates with divine judgment, except for the last, which has no termination, and there's no end to the divine blessing for the believers at the resurrected bodies. Now, any questions about that? All right. Hebrews chapter 2:5. For he has not put under authority of angels the coming civilization. Now verses 6 through 9, we have two Adams and the angelic conflict. Two Adams, first Adam, second Adam, or last Adam. Hebrews 2:6. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? Last week we read this was taken from Psalms 8. So let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 8 verse 4. Psalm 8 verse 4. Psalm 8, 1 verse 4. Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that you thought of him? And a son of man that you are care of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and yet crowned him with glory and majesty. So again, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 6.
Determined on 5, a little lower than God, or a little lower than angels?
Do what?
Verse 5 that you read, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels.
Well, the Hebrew has God, but it's talking about angels. All right. Yes. You have him rule over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet. In Hebrews 2:6, the author refers to Jesus as the Son of Man. In the Old Testament, this title was given to the prophet Ezekiel. Son of Man was given to the title to the prophet Ezekiel. In fact, it was used of Ezekiel in over 90 times, signifying the importance of this prophet's work in the nation of Israel. So, it was used of Ezekiel and of Jesus. It was used in Daniel 7, again referring to Jesus, and Revelation 1:13, again referring to Jesus Christ. Son of Man is a title of his humanity. Son of Man is a title of his humanity. Let's open the Word of God, 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 2. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So it's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the Son of Man in a fulfillment of prophecies like Daniel 7:13-14. Now, in our study, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, we see four parts to God's purpose for Jesus Christ. And the fifth part is seen in verse 14. So let's take a look at it. One, in his humanity, he was created inferior, lower to the angels. 2, God the Father adorned Jesus with both glory and honor, two of the highest exalts from God. 3, God the Father appointed him, Jesus, over the rule, words, works of your Jesus' hands. Remembering Jesus is credited for being as being the creator of all things. 4, God the Father placed Jesus as the Son of Man in authority over all things. Under his feet is symbolic of absolute dominion and authority. 5, from verse 14 of Hebrews 2, by Jesus' death, Jesus neutralized the power of Satan over death. Now, God has placed all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. What does this mean? What does it mean? Dominion over all the earth was first given to the first Adam in the Garden of Eden after he was created. Genesis 2, 1, 26 and 27. But when Adam sinned by disobeying God's command about not eating of the fruit from the tree, this domination was given, taken over and given to Lucifer. From that day to the time when Jesus was glorified by his death, resurrection, ascension, and session, kept dominion. Satan kept dominion. But now, Jesus has dominion over the earth as the second Adam, who did not disobey God, but fulfill God's purpose for his life. However, Jesus does not exercise complete authority over all creation, will not until his return to set up his kingdom. So it stays with Satan. Stays with Satan. Now we go to Hebrews 2:9. Verse 9 deals with what we do in this terrible age in which the devil rules. That is this civilization in which Satan is the ruler of the world. When things are not under the authority of Jesus Christ, when there is rebellion both in laws, a divine establishment, even Bible doctrine. Okay, having all of that, verse 9. Is the sinner of Jesus Christ. First note that in discussion of his being incarnation and suffering, he is known in the humanity as Jesus. This is the first time Jesus is used in the Hebrew. It's in chapter 2 here. So, as Son of God, he became a member of the human race. Incarnation. Jesus made lower than angels for a little while. Then, by Jesus, he is named in his incarnation according to his purpose. And his purpose was to die for all members of the human race, to die for their sins. The wages of sin is death. But we are born dead, spiritually dead. Therefore, we would not make the payment, we could not make the payment for death. So here is the love of Jesus Christ. He died spiritually for our sins, then he died physically. Jesus Christ, because of the suffering of the death, and then in his humanity, he crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. His death was spiritual death. This includes his death for all members and every unbeliever. The reason that one is in the eternal lake of fire has nothing to do with sin, but with rejection of Jesus as their Savior. Because on the cross, Jesus paid substitutionary atonement for all sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world, all civilizations." Now, Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, removed all the sins, and therefore the only issue is believing in Jesus Christ. We saw how God the Father bestowed his grace on us because of his love for his Son. And we've already studied that. We saw how God the Father bestowed his grace on us because of his love for his Son. The concluding source of salvation is the grace of God. The caring cause of salvation is the death of Christ, and the graceful civilization of salvation is for every human being. Now, verses 7, 9 through 10, Christ is the leader. Verse 9 in your Hebrew chapter 2. Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. In the Greek, this is a passive voice which says he received glory and honor from the Father. He received it. By that I'm telling you it's a passive voice. He received glory and honor. Isaiah 53 explains, by God the Father clothed his Son in suffering with glory and honor. Read sometime Isaiah 53:10-12. Jesus Christ now sits on the honor of God the Father's right hand. Hebrews 1:3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a declaration of the love of God the Father for his Son, which we also studied Sunday. In verse 9 is the word crowned. What does that mean? Means to crown someone as victor in the games. Where God the Father, who loves his Son, crowns him with glory and honor. Glory belongs to deity, but is now given to the member of the human race who was victorious in salvation and victorious over the angelic conflict. Now, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of his of their salvation through sufferings. Now, even this was written by Paul. This was not written by Paul. Paul had this same understanding. But therefore, Luke chapter 2, chapter 1, in Colossians 1:16, Colossians 1:16. Let's turn to it. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. All of salvation is a design of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory. See that word many? This refers to every person who believes in Jesus as Savior. Sons refers to believers. To glory means that by salvation, every believer is in the glory of Jesus Christ. So all three. In bringing many sons to glory. Many sons. The sons refers to believers. Glory refers to, means that all that salvation, every believer who believes in Jesus Christ. To perfect the author of this of their salvation through sufferings. To perfect the author of this salvation through sufferings. God's plan is proclaimed because of whom and through whom. God's work in leading many sons to glory. And now, Christ's work. To make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Where in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Here is the in our study, perfect through sufferings. In Hebrews 12, 2, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He was the first to go through death and the first to be glorified. Think about all we are learning about Jesus. The one that many Israelites rejected as Messiah. And who wanted him crucified. And here we find he is the author of all their salvation, perfect through sufferings. Now verse 11. Hebrews 2:11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, excuse me, are all from one Father. Everyone sanctifies and is sanctified are from one Father. For which reason he is also ashamed to call, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Okay. Both Christ, the sanctifier, and believers, the sanctified, are set apart from one common source, God the Father. Now, do you understand that? Both Christ, the sanctifier, and believers, the sanctified, are set apart, have one common source, and that source is God the Father. What is too beautiful here, so beautiful here, is that God the Father has no trouble now that we are in His Son. He has no problem referring to all believers as His brothers. This is dramatically explained that he names all of us as His brothers. It's dramatically explained in Hebrews 10:10. Let's open the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this will, God's, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The author could not have made it any stronger than right there. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. We're now ready for verse 12. Saying, yes. Huh? Yes. There were many things. Yeah. But here he's dealing with the sons. Hebrews 2:12. Saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praises. Again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I am the children whom God has given me. I am the children, I, Jesus Christ, am the children whom God, the Father, has given me, Jesus Christ. Now, all three quotations from the Old Testament confirmed the statement of verse 11. Okay, let's look now at these things. Verse 11, the three quotations. The three quotations of verse 11. They are in Psalm 22:22. Let's turn to that. Psalm 22:22. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Now that's the first one. The second one, Isaiah 8. So now let's turn to Isaiah 8:17. And I will wait for the Lord who is hidden His face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for Him. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Now, those three I've given you are the same quote in Hebrews 2:11. Now let's read it. Hebrews 2:11. For behold, for both he who sanctifies and those who sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is the same, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verses 5 through 13 proclaim that God the Son became mankind in order to win back for mankind over the inhabited earth. This, of course, demanded his spiritual death by dying in spiritual death, substitutionary death. He is not, he did not as a martyr, but came back renegation. And he will later win the angelic conflict and rule over the earth. Six benefits given to believers by God Himself. Let's look at six believers given to every believer by God Himself. One, believers in Jesus Christ brought many believers as sons of glory. So one, they're brought to the sons of glory. Two, made believers holy, sanctified. Three, makes believers brothers to Christ. Four, makes us members of God's family. Five, delivers us from the power of Satan. And six, removes our fear of dying. Many believers have a fear of death as they're ready to die. But if you understand the Word of God, there's no fear for dying. Now, more we learn about Jesus Christ. Let's take a look. One, He was made a little lower than the angels. Two, as a man, He experienced suffering and death. By the way of death of Jesus provided a marvelous display of dying grace. Just threw that in. Three, God, what I'm saying is, the second one, as a member, He experienced suffering and death. And then I'm just setting in, by the way of death of Jesus, provided a marvelous display of dying grace. Three, God loved His Son and permitted Him to endure suffering and death for everyone so He could conquer death by His resurrection. God loved His Son and permitted Him to endure suffering and death for everyone so He could conquer death by His resurrection. Four, also by His love for His Son, Jesus Christ suffered spiritual death and then crowned Him with glory and honor. He did that out of His love for His Son. I got that from our study Sunday in the love of Jesus, of God the Father. Five, His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session exalted Jesus as a man superior to angels. His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session exalted Jesus as a man superior to angels. Six, in His resurrection body, which we will also receive one day, He will make physically superior to angels as we too who will be made physically superior to angels. And seven, every person who trusts in Jesus Christ has made a son of God's glory, which means that each one of us brings honor to God simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know it would take this short of time, so we are completed. We will continue Hebrews chapter 2 and finish up chapter 2 next Wednesday in our study. Let's close in prayer. How grateful we are for what you've done for Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done for you, what they have done for us, for all members of the human race. And then, Heavenly Father, for those who humbled themselves, believed in Jesus as their Savior, to be your Son. Heavenly Father, pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight, set them aside to the glory of Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.